Would you turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 12? Mark chapter 12 tonight. We're continuing in this little series that I have entitled, Thou Whom My Soul Loveth. Thou Whom My Soul Loveth. And I want to focus your attention tonight in Mark chapter 12 on a question that was asked of our Lord and the answer that He gave. And it's one of the most remarkable answers to a question ever posed. You know, don't you love softball questions for the president? Okay.
Did you have a donut for breakfast?
You know, that's big. That's huge. Did you have ice cream last night? What flavor did you have? Now, those are all important questions that we need to ask the leader of the free world. But, you know, we call those softball questions. But it's not fast pitch softball, it's slow pitch softball questions that are asked. But the Lord was asked a very important question. Notice in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, our Lord answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And notice what our Lord says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, by the way, this is the only gospel that includes this answer of Jesus before what he says next. Matthew doesn't record it, Luke doesn't record it, but Mark does. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love. And technically, it's the word that Lord, the Lord who is one. We are to love that Lord, thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts in these 10 to 15 minutes that we have together here. We might consider thou whom our soul lovest and consider what kind of love we have for you. Sometimes, dear Father, it's an insufficient kind of love. It's an inferior kind of love. But you've described to us the kind of love that we're supposed to have for not only thee, but for our neighbor. I pray that you'd waken us tonight to an understanding of the kind of love that you expect from your children. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you parents here expected your children to love you? Okay. Can I ask it again? How many of you parents expected your children to love you? I expected my kids to love me. I was their daddy, all right? I love it whenever I get a text from my kids and say, hey, Dad, you want to go here and do this? Hey, Dad, let's do this. It's different from what it used to be. It used to be, I said, let's go, kids. We're going to church. Let's go, kids. We're going to baseball practice. Let's go, kids. We got soccer practice in 10 minutes. And there was a lot of things of me saying to the kids, let's go. Let's go get in the truck. Let's go to where we're supposed to be. And now I get things, hey, Dad, you want to go here? Want to go there? I got kids out of the house now. They're married. And it's kind of neat as a dad to get those kind of texts and emails and messages that come in. And I've gotten to that point in life where I've got a grandson. And I enjoy that. For the first time this week, he said, Poppy. Now, for a grandpa that's just been, you know, that kind of thing, and all of a sudden, Poppy pops out, and Mimi popped out this week, and Truck, and so over like that, I just like, wow, we've reached that stage. There's something about that. And then for him to come up to me and puts his arms up, he wants Poppy to pick him up and hold him for a few minutes. Now, it's getting to where now it's short things because he's down on the ground. He wants down so he can go back and do what he was doing. But he just comes up, and now, there's just something special about that we want our kids and our grandkids to love us. But what kind of love do they have for us? That's a little bit different. Sometimes we assume things that may not be true. And I think it's wrong for us to assume that we all have the right kind of love for God. The right kind of love. Can I give you four tests tonight very quickly of checking out your love, not only for God, but for your neighbor? Whoa, there's a test for that too? Oh yeah, there's a test for that too. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you love your neighbor? Okay, that old sorry thing. I can't love him. Yeah. We got home from church, I think it was last week, and our neighbor had an ambulance that was at the house. So I rushed out there to see what was going on, and I met with him, and I had prayer with him. He has heart issues, and he thought he was having a heart attack. And so they checked him out, made sure everything was good. He had blood pressure was coming down and so forth like that. And I told him, I said, when we saw the ambulance, my kid said, Daddy, you need to go over there. Dad, you need to go over. And so I did, and then one by one, they all came over to check on my neighbor. I said, are you ready? And he looked up at me, and he said, I hope so. And we had a good conversation after that. I said, that's not the answer I want to hear. I don't want to hope so. I want to know so. And we talked about the Lord, and he said, I hope so, but he said, I think so. Is that better? And I said, no, sir, it's not. I said, I want to know so. I said, I'm not going to be critical of you, but for an answer of I think so, I hope so, is concerning to me. And I love you, and I want you to be in heaven when you pass on the earthly scene. I said, We exchanged phone numbers years ago, and he'll call me every once in a while, or he'll come over to the house and so forth like that. But I'm concerned about him. I've gotten to know him through the years, and I'm concerned about him. I want him to move from I think so, I hope so, to a know so. Do you know that you can know that you're going to go to be with the Lord? Not based upon all your good works, not based upon you give money to the church, not based upon some earthly mentality type thing, but based upon the sole merits of Jesus Christ. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? I want to quickly give you four things here in this passage. Very simple. There's nothing complex here. But the Lord Jesus responded to this man's question by beginning with this, here. Now let that soak in. And specifically, he said, hear, O Israel. He's concerned about the nation, but he wanted them to hear this. Before he ever gets to love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, before he gets to love thy neighbor as thyself, he says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know what he was saying to them? I'm your Lord. I'm your Lord. There's not God the Father and God the Spirit, this other person over here, and that's it. But there's one Lord. Kurios is the word that's used here, and it's referring to Himself. Who was the one that they rejected? Jesus Christ. Who was the one that came unto His own, and His own received Him not? Jesus. You see, they were looking past Him and saying, yeah, we're trusting in the Father. But they were rejecting His Son. And you can't really trust in the Father if you reject the Son. How many of you think that's an important truth that needs to be emphasized today? There are a lot of people that talk about God. We all hear them. Sadly, we hear them take His name in vain on a far too often event that we hear come into our ears. And I don't know about you, but I'm troubled by that. And I've had to speak to a lot of people through the years. Excuse me, I'm a believer in Christ. Please don't take my Lord's name in vain in my presence. And you really shouldn't do it anywhere. Because He's the God that loved you and sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree. And all we're doing is emphasizing this important fact here. Before He ever gets into loving Him, He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I want you to know something. The moment you were saved, you were married to Jesus Christ. We're one. We're one. And that gets in our convoluted thinking, sadly, in churchianity today, in our convoluted, we don't think that way. We're just living life, making our choices, making our decisions, doing this, doing that, and we don't live as one with the Savior. You just don't make decisions without the Lord Jesus. Amen? You don't go buy this and buy that and do this and do that without checking with your husband, Christian. Oh, but God doesn't expect us to think that way. Are you kidding me? Really? Go back and read Ephesians chapter 5 over and over and over again until you get it. Husbands, love your wives, even as what? Christ loved the church. Submitting yourselves one to another. You know, I don't understand why it's such a struggle these days. But it is. It's become a struggle in churches all across America to understand the concept that when I am saved, I become one with Jesus Christ. We're just awaiting the formal ceremony. Amen? The marriage supper of the Lamb. You see, folks, in the Old Testament times and in the Middle East, when you were married, when you got engaged, you were married legally. But the ceremony would take a year before that would happen. You were married. You weren't out playing the field. You were engaged. You were married to that person. There's been some folks through the years I wanted to take my size 10 shoe and boot in the rear end because of the way they were acting toward their intended one. Because it hadn't registered yet. They were set aside. When you buy a ring, boys, one day when you buy a ring, we got a lot of boys up here. Brother Jerry, going to be busy in the future. A lot of weddings coming down. Okay, got 3 girls. And how many boys now? 5, 6? 6 boys? All right. And you think about that. Now, I've only got 4 kids. I've got 3 boys and a girl. So I've got 2 left. But you got a long way to go, brother. Long way to go. But you know, when you go out, gentlemen, and you buy that ring for that girl someday, there's a lot of other boys here. When you go out and buy a ring, how many of you think it's for keeps? You know what I have found through the years? There have been a lot of broken engagements because we didn't plan ahead. We didn't ask the right questions. We found out a lot of things after that. Can I have my ring back? Is that how you want to do it? Now, if you've had a broken engagement, I'm not mocking you in any way. What I'm saying is this. It's for keeps. It's real. You bought the metal to go on the finger because it was going to be for keeps. But not everybody's thinking that way. Not everybody's thinking. And you know what it is? It's a wrong understanding of what love is. Love is two becoming one. And when God loved me and sent His Son, and He said, "Todd Brainerd, I love you. I want you to come to faith in me." And in 1978, at age 14, I stopped running aisles. I stopped doing all the pretend stuff. And I said, "Lord, I want to be saved for real." We became one that night. Do I hear an amen? We became one. It was a love interaction on the part, not so much on me, but totally upon Him. He loved me and gave Himself for me. And it took that night in 1978 when I went back here, we called it the radio room at that time because that's where radio broadcast centered from our church. And I went back there and I came to faith in Jesus Christ. What kind of love do we have for the Lord Jesus? Is it a love that focuses totally upon what He has done for us? Or is it a love that's kind of mixed up with a little bit of Hollywood? If you've got that kind of love, you're in deep trouble tonight. That's not love. It's a love that focuses on four corners. And we're going to get into this, Lord willing, next time because our time on the clock is gone. But we're to love Him according to this passage in four ways. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Notice it's mentioned four times. With all. In case you've forgotten there, because you remember we've become one. With all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. You have that kind of love for Him tonight? It hits all aspects of life, every part of your being, because now you're one in Christ. You're one in Christ. It's a marriage that will last longer than your earthly marriage. Don't ever forget that. It's for all eternity. It's for all eternity. And that's a special kind of love that will operate like that. That will bring you into a relationship that will last for all eternity. He's going to take care of your housing. He's going to take care of your fellowship. He's going to take care of your being for all eternity. How many of you think that's love? That's love. It's grace, yes, but it's love for me, the unloving, the unlovely. When we say the phrase, thou whom my soul lovest, what kind of love is it? Is it a hit and miss kind of love, or is it a real kind of love that touches on all four corners of what's shared here? We're going to get into this because the Bible says, and second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the kind of love we're supposed to be reaching out to a lost and dying world, our neighbor. Not just the ones we like, but to everyone. We're to love them, and we're to be concerned about them, and we're to share with them the good news of our Savior because we want them to be one with our Savior. One. Not two people. One. That's the glorious message of marriage, and that's the glorious message of love found in Jesus Christ toward us. Father in heaven, I thank You for this passage that's recorded in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, the messages recorded there about the Lord's answer to this question that came from one of the scribes. What's the first commandment of all? And He answered with a marriage statement. The Lord is one in the Trinity and with His children. We are one. And Lord, You described the kind of love that we're supposed to have for You and for our neighbors. And sometimes we come up grossly inadequate in our love. We have a Hollywood script kind of love which is totally foreign to the Bible. I pray that we might have our hearts purified from the nonsense kind of love and that it might be filled with the kind of love that You have for us. A love that's an everlasting love A love that will never end. A love that gives constantly. I pray that you might rebuke us for being so shallow. And when we say that phrase, "Thou whom my soul lovest," when we talk about the Lord, may it be a genuine kind of love. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.